Katharina Boehm tells us that 20 years after the publication of Oliver Twist, the novel that established Charles Dickens' reputation as the 19th century author of childhood, Dickens published a Christmas number of the magazine Household Words, in which he revisited and rewrote the major plot elements of that earlier novel, Oliver Twist. This tale hinges on a permanently vacant house in London with an illustrious past and a dark secret, a house that is turned into a children's hospital at the end of the narrative. The historical London institution on which the children's hospital in A House to Let is modeled is the Great Ormond Street Hospital for Sick Children, the first hospital for diseased and disabled children in the UK. Founded in 1852 by Charles West, the hospital was established both to provide medical care for the children of the poor and to enhance medical knowledge about diseases and disabilities peculiar to childhood. For these reasons, the foundation of the Children's Hospital is today considered one of the milestones of British pediatrics. Charles Dickens' support for that Children's Hospital in the 1850s and 60s is well documented. Dickens' personal involvement in the development of the hospital was considerable. He presided as chairperson over the first annual dinner in honor of the hospital in January 1858 and gave one of the most celebrated speeches of his career. As the secretary to the hospital committee reported, the dinner raised £2,850, enabling the hospital management to purchase the adjoining house and garden, and thus to gradually expand the number of beds from 30 to 75. Dickens was subsequently designated honorary governor of the hospital, and he gave another public reading of A Christmas Carol for the benefit of the hospital in April of the same year, which raised £165. Contemporary commentators leave little doubt that the mission of the hospital came quickly to be associated not only with Dickens' name, but also with his fictional child characters and the notions of childhood put forward in his works. That from an essay by Katharina Boehm in Victorian Studies, spring 2009. She chose for her title A Place for More Than the Healing of Bodily Sickness. And that's a phrase she took from a letter to the governors of the hospital about their healing vision for not just the children of the present, but for humankind. That Dickens was a benefactor of Great Ormond Street Hospital through his writing and his readings, especially of A Christmas Carol, is a wonderful way for us to begin today. Robert Anderson is a writer who celebrates the art of creative writers like Shakespeare, Beckett, Melville, and so many others in theatrical pieces he presents wherever he settles, to delight and entertain us, but also to give us food for thought and even for our souls. He will tell us his own father planted a seed that has led to a series of readings of Dickens' A Christmas Carol for our delight and to benefit Ruth's Place, a shelter for homeless women in the Wyoming Valley. The 2019 reading of A Christmas Carol will take place this Sunday, December 1st, at the Wyoming Valley Art League Center Circle for the Arts in downtown Wilkes-Barre. Producers Robert Anderson and Rose Wright, who remained in the wings, paid a visit to the VIA studios with Patricia Lacey, Wyoming Valley Art League board member and reader at the event, and Crystal Kotlowski, who is program coordinator at Ruth's Place. Robert Anderson remembered his father and his father's fondness for Dickens to begin.
In New Bedford, Massachusetts, I got the idea of doing a reading of the complete text of A Christmas Carol, not a dramatization, although we have very dramatic readers, and not an abridgment. And in a way, it came from a family tradition, that family being my father, who would tell me often that when he was a lad, he would read A Christmas Carol every Christmas Eve. Now, my father was not a great literature reader. He was an engineer, a businessman. But I was impressed by that, that he would do that. And so, in a way, I was putting that tradition, which was told to me, into action when I had a radio program at the local college FM station. And I decided that on Christmas Eve, we, that is me and my fellow radio actors, would do a reading of the entire Christmas Carol. And we did. I think we did it for 7 years. 7 years in a row. And we had some musical accompaniment by none other than the great fiddler, Johnny Cunningham. And Erica, you know about Johnny.
That was just a grace that you all would have someone of his spirit with you.
Plus, he was a reader, too. And with his Scottish accent, he was a terrific reader. But one regret that I had was that we did not do it as a benefit, which would really be in the spirit of Charles Dickens, who believed in that. And I decided that on Christmas Eve, we, that is me and my fellow radio actors, would do a reading of the entire Christmas Carol. And we did. I think we did it for 7 years. 7 years in a row, and we had some musical accompaniment by none other than the great fiddler, Johnny Cunningham. And Erica, you know about Johnny.
That was just a grace that you all would have someone of his spirit with you.
Plus, he was a reader, too, and with his Scottish accent, he was a terrific reader. But one regret that I had was that we did not do it as a benefit, which would really be in the spirit of Charles Dickens, who believed in that. And the very first time he gave a reading, it was for a benefit. But when we got here, well, it morphed into not a Christmas Eve reading and not over the radio, but still a live reading in front of an audience, but now as a benefit for Ruth's Place. And we just feel really good about that. And this will be our fifth annual reading.
Congratulations on the anniversary.
Thank you.
And you found a wonderful place for this special event.
Yes, so we did.
Wyoming Valley Art League, where you and Rose produce regular events.
Yes, it's called Sunday at the Circle. And it's because of members like Patricia Lacey, who's sitting right next to me, who became enthusiastic about the idea of not just having visual art displays, exhibitions, but also to have performance art. And Patricia takes part in that as well.
Patricia, tell us what it is about the Wyoming Valley Art League that would make it natural for all of you to embrace the performing arts.
Well, 65 years ago, if you can imagine this, a small group of people who happened to be artists decided that they wanted to meet, get together, and discuss art and paint. Hence, the Wyoming Valley Art League was born. That was 65 years ago. Now, in 2011, the purchase of a magnificent building on South Franklin Street provided the Wyoming Valley Art League with an opportunity to expand and broaden the sense of art, thus becoming the Circle Center for the Arts, home of the Wyoming Valley Art League. And so it is on Sunday, December 1st. Charles Dickens will visit and fill our space with the reading of A Christmas Carol. Performing arts, which we are so delighted and happy to present, especially at this time of year. And we couldn't be happier than to have Robert Anderson and Rose Wright doing so much for the performing arts. Now, keep in mind, we've always had the arts. We've had the paintings, the watercolors, the oils, the charcoals. But we've never had theater, music, poetry, performing arts. So it's a very, very exciting day for us.
There is another member at the table, and Crystal, you've been with us before, and this is a long-standing association with the Wyoming Valley Art League. Introduce us to Ruth Place.
Sure. Ruth Place is the only emergency homeless shelter exclusively for single women in Luzerne County. That does not mean necessarily that the women we serve are single. A lot of them are mothers who, unfortunately, must be separated from their children temporarily while they regain stability. But Ruth Place meets a need for them so that at least mom can have a safe place to get back on her feet. Ruth Place serves about 300 women a year. We have 21 beds and we go up to 25 when it's below freezing, which it's getting to that time of year. So we're looking at expanding that service as time goes on. But we are very blessed to partner with the Art League. Ruth Place tries to provide more than just emergency shelter to meet other needs in the women's lives. We offer individualized case management where we, you know, meet with the person and decide where they're at and what their goals are and what their idea of suitable housing is. And we try to help them meet that goal. We also try to help them develop some life skills so they have things to take on in the future and hopefully to help prevent a situation like this from arising again by providing education and a resource and things like that. It can be a lot. Ruth's Place recently expanded their length of stay from 30 days to 45 days. So, you know, it can be a lot to rebuild your life in that period of time. So we also try to offer some services to meet different needs outside of just the emergency housing, which, you know, the Art League meets one of those needs by providing the art class. It gives us an hour a week with Bonnie from the Art League to let the ladies unwind, learn a new skill, hopefully learn something about themselves, you know, and have a memento to take home to their new home when that happens. So, you know, we're just so grateful to partner with the Art League to provide this to our residents. It really is important to their spiritual process while they're going through this difficult time.
Bonnie Kovaleski is an artist who really paints lovely, lovely flowers, happy images, really. Her approach is soft and very sweet.
The other nice thing about this is that in times past, there have been exhibits of the women's work at this event, and some of them have even attended.
Yeah, they love to go to the event. You know, it's really interesting to them. A lot of people don't get exposed to the arts in our community and, you know, that group of people who participate in those things, like the people at the Art League. So, you know, it's interesting for them to be able to see that, learn about it, and if it's something that they're really interested in, to really think about and know that the resource is there.
Bear in mind that you have women, many of whom have never had an art lesson or don't even have any feeling that they have the ability to nurture any kind of art. So many of these women will go in and start painting and realize that they really, really love it and continue to do it. So it really is a wonderful opportunity for these women.
Like a, you know, a self-esteem boost for them to realize that they have a talent, that they can be creative and they can express themselves in that way, and that it's going to be all right. It's going to be a good result, and they're, you know, they're going to be happy with what they walk away with.
Robert, when it comes to the reading, you cast, in quotes, cast people. You ask people to join you as readers. Tell us about how the event unfolds.
Well, people get up in their turns and read. And I separate the book into sections, which anywhere from 3 to 6 or 7 pages. And some readers get more than one section. And I would like to say that we also have recruited local celebrities. For instance, Tony Brooks, who is on the Wilkes-Barre City Council and has a lot to do with historical preservation in the city. And he loves to show up in Victorian garb, and he does a great presentation. He's a terrific reader. And speaking of terrific readers, other celebrities are, well, from this station, Larry Voitko. He's a terrific reader, and so is his wife, Bernadine Voitko, from Wyoming Seminary, and his son, Jonathan Voitko, who is a great actor and very active in this region as a theater person. And there's also, oh, that's right, Erica Funky.
Yay.
Oh, yeah, yay is right.
Yay is right.
She steals the show every year. Erica has been with us. This will be her fifth year with us. And we are so, so happy to have her.
Thank you so much for inviting us to join you. It's always such a treat to be there with all of you. And what a privilege and a delight to say those remarkable sentences of Charles Dickens.
And Annie Rodella from the Kirby Center, who is also very active as an actor in this region. And two newcomers who aren't really newcomers, and that's Elizabeth Guarnieri, who is now Elizabeth Powers. She will be there with her husband, Jamil Powers, and they are both accomplished actors and directors, and they love doing readings like this.
I'm interested, Patricia, because you have costume choices that make and enrich what it is that you are doing before us with Dickens and his words. What do you love to read, and why do you love? Because you're not Miss Sunshine.
I really love the darker parts, and I especially am so grateful that I get to read in the beginning when the two solicitors come to visit Scrooge, and, you know, they start to talk about the plight of so many people. And he says, "Are there no prisons?" And they say, "Many, many, sir. And many would rather die than go there." And Scrooge replies, "Well, if they'd better die, they'd better do it and decrease the surplus population. Besides, I don't know about that." So those are the parts I love. I love hearing the back and forth about how miserable, dank, and dark Scrooge really is, and how it unfolds, and he suffers through those spirits and finds redemption.
And Robert, I don't think it's probably easy to say the culminating words, because people who know and love the story know that those words are coming, and you really want to make sure that people really hear them and don't just know that they're coming and anticipate them, but they really hear them. And you'd put them across every year with sensitivity, but also the power of the culmination of this entire story that has been developing in our midst.
Thank you, Erica. And we're going to have a little surprise twist on that this year, which I shall not give away right now.
No.
but we were going over it in the lobby, and I think it's going to be very effective. And it will be about those very last words of which you speak.
And you have musicians who are part of your troupe, your informal troupe, and they always join in to create the atmosphere.
Oh, yes. Once again, Jason will be there with his theremin. Jason Smeltzer, that is, on theremin. He plays very ghostly music on a very appropriate instrument. And before the event, as the audience arrives, Brendan Nybert will be playing holiday favorites on our old Steinway upright, which is still in great shape. So it's 3:00 on Sunday, December 1st, and we have free parking in the lot next to Bell's Furniture, which is accessed on South Main Street, not South Franklin. That's important. And you come in and take a seat and get something to eat and drink, and you don't have to sit the whole time. You can even leave for a bit if you have something to do and then come back. We encourage that. We want a relaxed, fun atmosphere. Could I quote very briefly from a recent review in the New York Times of A Christmas Carol on stage in New York? The reviewer says, "First published in 1843, This novella was directly inspired by its author's indignation at child labor conditions in newly industrialized England. He had thought of channeling his rage into a tract to be called An Appeal to the People of England on behalf of the poor man's child. Instead, he wrote a seasonal ghost story that has become a template for the celebration of Christmas as we know it today, the most commercialized holiday of the year.
Words of Ben Bradley from the New York Times, read by producer Robert Anderson, and he will be a reader at a special event this Sunday afternoon in Wilkes-Barre. Robert Anderson and Rose Wright are the producers of the event. And joining us in the studio, Patricia Lacey, Wyoming Valley Art League board member and reader, and Crystal Kotlowski, program coordinator of Ruth's Place in Wilkes-Barre. They all joined us to invite us to a special reading, the fifth annual reading of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens at the Circle Center for the Arts, the home of the Wyoming Valley Art League, Rear 130 South Franklin Street in Wilkes-Barre. They will have a host of wonderful readers, and some dressed in Victorian garb, as we heard, and you are welcome to dress in Victorian garb if you like. They create a very relaxed and welcoming atmosphere. Ghostly music by Jason Smeltzer on theremin and holiday favorites by Brenda Nybert on piano. Lots of food and drink, a real spread, and a way to give back to the community through the benefit support for Ruth's Place. For more information on the web, WyomingValleyArtLeague.org, WyomingValleyArtLeague.org. Please come. Admission is free, but they'd love if you took part in helping them with Ruth's Place. It's for all ages, free parking, the Circle Center for the Arts, 130 South Franklin Street, Rear. And that's this Sunday, December 1st at 3 in the afternoon. The Wyoming Valley Art League presenting the fifth annual reading of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. For more information, on the web, WyomingValleyArtLeague.org, WyomingValleyArtLeague.org.